Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading on this Palm Sunday is from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me the Catechetical Review on the second article, Redemption. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives, and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. The epistle reading this morning is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as we sing, Return to the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. They had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, when he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They said to him, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was getting nothing, but rather a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be upon us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him. And they took the reed and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of that robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And they went out and found a man from Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, that which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him kept watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. Jesus. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you, and our hosannas arise before you this day with the same cry as those who cried it when Jesus entered Jerusalem. Save us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Must have been quite a sight. If you were there in Jerusalem, you heard the news. Jesus had raised Lazarus. Jesus was coming into the city. The king was here. The crowds were gathered. The palms were in the air. The excitement was building, and the crowds were saying, Hosanna in the highest. And their hope was there. They were watching their hope ride in on the donkey into the city. And they were filled with excitement and anticipation and promise that God was going to rescue his city, that God was going to rescue his people. Palm Sunday is here. Holy Week is in front of us. That brings excitement over the things that will happen in the next week. But now, just a few minutes after we heard the Palm Sunday gospel reading, and we've shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest, with all the excitement. St. Matthew in the gospel reading reminds us of why our King came to his city. Why our King came for us. We're selfish. And we're self-centered. Apart from God's Holy Spirit, man's focus is never on salvation and forgiveness. It's never on serving others and loving my neighbor. It's never to protect and to build up and to promote anyone but me. The Holy Trinity, apart from God's Holy Spirit that we worship, is me, myself, and I. Apart from God's Holy Spirit, we are always focused inward. Sin curves us in on ourselves, and we protect ourselves at all costs, blaming everything on everyone else instead of admitting that I'm the problem. We use our wisdom and our authority and our power to define our world according to our standards. We're so bold in our sin, so bold in our selfishness, that we, the created, have the audacity to tell the Creator that He's wrong and that we're right. The selfishness of mankind takes center stage in the last hours of Jesus' life. Jesus stands before Pontius Pilate. The crowds have been bribed. Crowds have been incited by the chief priests and the Pharisees to bring lies and false charges against Jesus. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the ones that are so intent on keeping the law, are now willing to break every law to kill Jesus. They'll do anything. And that's what happens when our sin grabs a hold of us. That's what happens when our selfishness and our self-centeredness grabs us. It will do anything, break any law, do anything to keep a hold on us. Pilate says to Jesus, "Do you not hear how many things that they testify against you? Jesus, aren't you going to defend yourself? Jesus, aren't you going to justify yourself from all of these actions?" No. He doesn't say a word. He remains silent. He remains silent so that he will justify us. Barabbas was as bad as they get. This was the guy that was on death row for insurrection and murder. And yet all of humanity's sinfulness gathered that day would rather have this murderer on the streets and free than let the light of life live. All humanity's sinfulness there that day would want to put out the light of Christ. Sinfulness, selfishness, self-centeredness always loves the dark. Sinfulness and self-centeredness always loves to hide in the half-truths. And it continually tries to extinguish the light of truth and love and peace. Our selfishness, if not exposed and condemned by the law, would cry out the same thing that the crowds cried out that afternoon about Jesus. Crucify him! Crucify him! Kill the light! Kill the truth! Let our sinfulness reign. Sinful selfishness always mocks God. The guards dress Jesus up like a king. They put a purple robe on him. They put a crown on his head. And they bowed down before him like high school bullies. Hail, King of the Jews! Not out of reverence or honor. They did this. They mocked him because Jesus didn't come with power and force to put away their selfishness. He was judged weak and incompetent and insignificant. Sinful selfishness mocks God every time my gets in the way. My entertainment, my money, my justifying, my sin seems more important and more powerful and more complete than the forgiveness of the eternal Son of God going to the cross for us. Reading all of the events that led to Jesus' death, I'd like to be able to tell you that we've learned our lesson, that we're better now, that we don't fall into these traps, that we're not doing these same things. I'd like to say, look what we've learned. We're doing better now. But I can't. Because we're still doing it. We're still the same. The selfishness of our world continues to try to curve us in on ourselves and make us God. We are still selfish and we're still sinful and we still need Jesus. And we need his blood to be covered over us, so that we might be righteous by him, not by what we would do. That realization that my sin is still every moment of every day trying to pull me away and separate me from God's love and his forgiveness changes the way that we say Hosanna in the highest. Instead of waving the palm branches in victory like they did when they came in, our cry is one of repentance. Lord, have mercy on me. It's the Kyrie. Our cry of Hosanna, Lord, save us, is the Lord's prayer. Forgive me my trespasses. Our cry of Hosanna echoes what Jesus has already done. We need Jesus. We need him to forgive us. And he does. The great joy of Palm Sunday is that looking ahead and knowing what was ahead of Jesus, he didn't take a sidestep, he didn't turn away, he didn't make excuses, he didn't say, that's it for me, I've done enough. When they accused him, he was silent because he knew the joy that would happen in a week. A week from today, we'll be here and the story will be different. The story is complete hope. And promise and forgiveness. Jesus goes to the cross for us. The lies, the false charges that were brought against Jesus, they were no concern for the way, the truth, and the life. His eyes were set on the cross. His eyes were set upon you. The sinfulness of all mankind, ours included, cried out as they tried to kill Jesus, his blood be upon us. And it is the holy, righteous blood of Christ from the cross covers our sin so that when God sees us now, he sees his holy, forgiven children. Instead of God's wrath and anger from the hand of God that should rightly destroy us, we receive a perfect blood sacrifice. Jesus' blood paid the price that death demands for our selfishness. So great is the love of God for us that when God let all sins rest completely on Jesus and abandoned him to death, Jesus didn't run. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, I'm out. He endured the cross and the shame so that your sin, my sin, our sin would be forgiven. He carried your sins to the grave and he died there with them. And your sins will never rise again. In my office, just above the window that looks outside, there's a big white plaque. And there's one word, one Greek word, right in the middle of that. Tetelestai. When Jesus was crying out, as Matthew tells us, he cried out in a loud voice and then he gave up his spirit. John fills in what Jesus said. Jesus said, Tetelestai. It's finished. Three words in English. He wasn't talking about his life and suffering and pain. He was talking about our pain, our sin, our suffering, our death. It's finished because Jesus went to the cross there and paid the price completely for us, for our selfishness, for our self-centeredness, for all the times that we've curved in on ourselves and tried to be God. Jesus says, it's finished. You're forgiven. When the devil tries to drag up your past, when he tries to remind you of your selfishness, dragging those sins out of Jesus' tomb and trying to hang them back upon you, remind him what Jesus said. It's finished, devil. The accusations that you have against me are finished because Jesus' blood is upon me, the Lamb that came to take away the sin of the world has forgiven me. Your hold on me is finished. Today is a day to say, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! And so is every day when our sin is before us. Jesus has hosannaed us. He saved us. He's forgiven us. He's done all that was asked of him for you because of his great love for all of us. Because of his great love for you. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.